Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at what we talked about in church last Sunday and then approach it again from a family angle. I'm Pastor Chris here at Magnolia Park United Methodist Church in Burbank, and I'm here with our children and youth director, Ms. Whitney.
Hi, everyone.
And this month, as you know, we started a new series in church called A Life Worthy, which is taking off on something that Paul said to the Colossians when he said that he asked God that we might be filled, or those Colossians might be filled with the knowledge of God's will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way. So we're beginning just to understand a little bit of what that might mean in our lives, and just looking at what Paul was facing when he was writing this letter to this church in Colossae that was really undergoing a little bit of doubt about their faith.
Right, just like so many of us, we have these times where maybe we've gone through a lot, maybe we're feeling persecuted or just tired, and our faith starts to waver and we need to be picked back up. And so this is what Paul's doing for this church, this Colossian church. And it's kind of incredible because if you think about it, Paul's writing all these letters to everybody else. You'd think that at some point somebody would need to write a letter to him. But as a faithful teacher of Christ's word and the New Testament gospel, he goes around and he starts telling this church and picking them back up and really asking them to look inside and find that simplicity of their faith, but also the strength of their faith and of living a life worthy.
Yeah, and the reason that Paul is even having to do this, as always, his letters are coming out of a problem that exists in the church. And a lot of times the problem is that while Paul was in prison, there were other people out there undermining all the work he had done before he went to prison.
Right.
And teaching false things about Christ, sometimes just teaching in a way that was self-serving or building them up rather than really preaching the full gospel or the true gospel. And in this passage that we looked at this week, Paul was actually warning them not to fall victim to hollow and deceptive philosophies, especially those that would preach Christ, but then also a little more, like Christ plus the old sacrifices of Judaism, or Christ plus special or secret knowledge, all those kinds of things that I think we still fall victim to sometimes when we want to have Christ plus other stuff that seems really attractive.
Right. This is something that we can all relate to, whether it's us that has to have kind of learned this lesson, or it's somebody else maybe trying to push Christ plus onto us in order for us to be acceptable in our faith. This is something that we can all relate to. So this is a really cool sort of letter that Paul's writing here, because he's taking that notion. Now, unfortunately, Paul couldn't be out there. He was in prison. So, I mean, he's not really monitor these people that are going around and saying, you know, these things, but he can counter it, and he can counter it with truth. And so that's a really important letter that we get to read and the Colossians received from Paul. But it's also so it's so relevant today to the things that we can see in our own lives.
Oh, yeah. And in order to counter these false teachings that were going around in the church, Paul does some of the same things that we really need to do, I think, all the time.
Yeah.
And that is to go back to the fundamentals and to understand why we believe what we believe.
Right.
I mean, in this letter, Paul reminds the Colossians of what they have known in the past about Jesus. Number one, that he is God, or as he says it, the image of the invisible God, that he's the firstborn over all creation. He actually has authority over all creation, and that in him actually everything was created in heaven and in earth. So that they're just remembering, or Paul's just reminding them, that Christ alone is really enough, because Christ, Jesus, really is God. And if you approach the way that you look at scripture or your own life from that point of view, you're going to come up with different answers than if you're coming to it from a place that denies those things.
Right. And I think that it's important to remember that all those other things are not necessarily inherently bad things that everybody else wanted to kind of add on to it that these teachers that were coming in and these people that were coming in that were trying to do Christ plus faith were trying to instill weren't inherently bad. But like you said, Paul took it down to the fundamentals and said, those things might be okay. I mean, if it's in the Old Testament scripture, if it's in, you know, the old Jewish tradition, it's not inherently bad, but it's not necessary for the true kind of foundational faith, that salvation that we need. And, you know, we can get so caught up in the extra stuff, the plus stuff in our lives. Well, we want to be really good Christians. We want to be really good parents and whatever, so we kind of go the extra mile, and that's always good. But like Paul's saying, you know, once you get that foundation down, that's where you're going to be on solid ground. So if you're thinking about the plus stuff before the foundation, or that foundation is becoming sort of like second to everything else and these rules and regulations that are being thrown on you, then you're missing the point. The point is that foundation of who Christ is and why he came and that relationship with him. And so, I mean, it's a great reminder. I think that so often we can all get caught up in that. But it's a great reminder from Paul for the Colossians and for us that really we can strip our faith down to the basics and really be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that the things that we need to know in order to really live a life that is in fullness in Christ, forgiven and redeemed and without fear and all those things that we love. All of that's in Christ. All of that is in his sacrifice for us. Mm-hmm. We don't need any special or secret knowledge. And a lot of that was going around in Paul's days, especially with Gnosticism, that people were pushing that, yeah, you know, you can be saved, but you can really be saved if you have this secret kind of knowledge that that these teachers could give. At the same time, he's talking about not being fooled or pulled into different kinds of philosophies that actually deny or contradict the truth of God. And of course, these days we live in a world that is dominated by secularism that does deny a supernatural God who really cares about us and he created everything. And it really does deny the existence of the supernatural or anything beyond what science can prove. And all of those things that put a proper approach to scripture at a disadvantage. You know, you really do have to approach scripture from a place of God did create the world. And there are things that are beyond our understanding, or else it doesn't make sense.
You can't walk into the reading of scripture or trying to gain knowledge of what scripture says without being open to it. I mean, it's the hard heart sort of scenario here where if you're walking into it thinking this can't be true, you're never going to see the truth in it. That's just case in point. You have to be able to walk into it and say, okay, let my mind be open to something that maybe I can't see. Maybe I can't fully understand at this moment. The understanding might come. You know, you could be reading and understand it more each time you read, but you have to be open at the get-go to actually understanding it and to perhaps maybe coming to an understanding of it. And that's really important. I mean, we see that so much. So oftentimes those who have reservations about our faith or want to challenge us in our faith always come from it, from this certainly can't be true. You know, even if you showed me a million ways this was true, this can't be true. And you can't get very far with that.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the proposition that there is no creator and everything just came out of the ether naturally or science, however, that takes an awful lot of faith to believe that.
It really does.
So both propositions come from a beginning place of faith. Obviously, we believe that it makes a lot more sense to think, as you look around at the world, that there actually is a creator. And if you can get there, then you can get all the way with a proper understanding or worldview that comes from scripture. So with our kids, I mean, we want to communicate with them our absolute conviction of the truth of, for instance, those things, that Jesus is God and that he came into the world and all of those things. But at the same time, we don't want to press them to accept those things simply dogmatically. I mean, I think it's healthy when we encourage our kids to investigate and challenge the things that they read in scripture, even. Do you think?
Oh, I think so. I think that our kids should be challenging themselves all the time, just as we should be with understanding scripture. Does it make sense in a way to you? Have you explored why we say these things, why we believe these things? And, it could be something and we need to walk them through. It might be something that might be a big concept of faith with them. It's always hard, you know, faith in itself is a little bit hard to understand. How do you understand the perfect love and the perfection of one being? You know, that's hard in and of itself. But to, ask our kids to look into these ideas of our faith and these truths that we know to be true and say, how is that true for you? Have you experienced that? Have you seen that? Is there something that you've gained in your knowledge of Jesus and your knowledge of God the Father that really brings you to that conclusion yourself? Not just because I say so or your Sunday school teacher says so, or in my case, that's both. But not just because we say so, but what have you seen that makes this real and a positive truth for you?
Yeah, and make sure that the conversation always, just like Paul does here, begins with fundamentals that we do accept, that God created things perfectly, that the reason it's imperfect now is because sin entered into that picture, and that the rest of the Bible is the story of trying to overcome that sin. And Jesus does it for us in his sacrifice for us. But that story only makes sense when we begin with the fundamentals and accept them on faith. I mean, there is that thing that we do need to accept, that there was a God that created all of this in the first place and has all of it in his hands, that all the things that we see hold together in him.
Right. And I think it's important to remind our children that faith does not mean blindly following something just because we want it to be true. I mean, we have faith in plenty of things in our lives. We have faith as we're sitting in these chairs today that they're going to hold our weight. We have to have faith to get anywhere in life. Faith starts with almost anything that we do or anything that we think. So it's not it's not being blind or naive to have faith. It's allowing yourself to discover what is true. And so faith is a good thing to have and to walk into a situation or walk into an understanding or a learning experience that starts with, I have faith that this might be right, rather than I have cynicism that this is probably wrong. And that's a good thing to remind our kids, because so often the world will be so jaded by something or will want to push your kids out of faith in anything, not even just Christ, but just faith in anything, that they'll try to dissuade them by thinking that faith is a weak thing to have. But faith is actually so integral to us as human beings.
Yeah, and as you say, it's impossible to not be living by faith in something, somehow, some way. But, you know, the good news is, too, for us, and I think this is what we really have to always go back to, so many people who reject Christianity or reject the Bible have never read it.
Right.
Have never really looked at it, as you say, within good faith at all, or even in any way.
Right.
And the fact is, God is good to reveal himself to us in creation and in nature and in his word. And then in the actions of the witness of people who have been experiencing this faith for so many years. So the encouragement, I think, for our kids, and the thing that we should be always doing with our kids, is making sure they're truly exposed to Scripture in a comprehensive and a way that's systematic. The same way that Paul approaches encouraging these churches in a comprehensive and systematic way, so should we do the same thing and make sure our kids are not being cheated by not hearing the word the way it's laid out. All right. Well, we thank you for being with us today. And we just hope that this week you're looking for ways that you can lift up and praise the Lord and live a life that's worthy of all that he has given to us, including our very lives. We hope, too, that if you're in Burbank, you'll come and worship with us at 10:30. And otherwise, you know, you can always worship with us online by following the link that's on the description of this podcast. And again, hope you have a blessed week and be with you next week.
Bye.